Hello, it's Lindsay the Dr. McDougall here, and welcome to a jam-packed podcast because there were so many gosh darn legends on the show this week, including Illy. Illy had a chat. He actually didn't only have a chat, he also had a glass thrown at him at a gig in Traralgon, which wasn't very nice. So he got on the line to talk about that and how he's going to make up the show and stuff. You'll hear from him. Big day on Tuesday, Margaret Pomerantz and David Stratton announced that they were leaving the ABC. They were retiring after years of doing at the movie. So I got them on the show, and they were so gosh darn lovely. They told a pretty amazing story. I mentioned erotic fan fiction to them that had been written about them. And then suddenly Dave Stratton starts telling a story about one night in Cannes. You'll hear about that. Also on the show today, this week. Oh, okay. So he is one of the world's greatest action movie stars. And he came on to talk about his new movie, The Equalizer. Then someone told me that this song existed about him. I said it's Denzel Washington, the best actor ever. He's so darn cool, so darn clever. I think that you're the man. Oh, yeah. Denzel Washington is going to be in this podcast. Remember when I first seen the movie John Q? Chris Cheney from The Living End also jumped on the phone. He's been playing in a super group with like members of The Damned and Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses and stuff. So I had to have a chat to him. They're also coming back to Australia and playing some shows. So that was cool. There was a cuteness overload when Quincy, the six-year-old surfer, dropped into the studio. I had to pry her off the Triple J pinball machine to come in and chat about being like one of the greatest six-year-old surfers in the world. She's actually got some health problems as well. But the surfing and the skating is absolutely amazing. And we also were blessed with a legend of so many different TV shows, including The Simpsons.
In episode BF12, you were battling barbarians while riding a winged Appaloosa. Yet in the very next scene, my dear, you're clearly atop a winged Arabian. Please to explain it.
Well, whenever you notice something like that, a wizard did it.
I see. All right, yes. But in episode AG4...
Wizard.
Oh, for glaving out now.
Lucy Lawless, Xena the Warrior Princess, who is in a brand new TV show on the ABC, also called in. Let's get kicking off in the podcast. Here it is.
Hello, Doctor.
How are you going?
I'm going great. How are you doing there?
I'm very, very well. Thank you for chatting to us today.
My pleasure.
And thank you for being in the code. I've been talking about it today.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I got a sneaky little first episode.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so it's, you know, half of it's set in, you know, this sort of high-pressure Canberra world with the politicians and the journalists trying to get one over on each other.
Yes.
And then, you know, miles away. Tell us about your part in the story.
Yeah, I got asked to play part of this teacher in an outback community, and it was bloody fascinating, you know, being amongst the Aboriginal community there. Though, you know, I thought that the learning issues or, you mm-hmm. know, getting people to come to school kind of issues, I'd been doing some research. They're yeah. learning Japanese, these kids.
Like, and this is on top of learning their, generally speaking, their indigenous language, their local language first, and then English, and then Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. they're... And really, that was an incredible privilege, actually. And something very special happens in the outback. I want to go back. I made some really great friends there.
Season, yeah. I mean, I don't know what happens in this season, but maybe season two of The Code. I'm talking to Lucy Lawless, who is
That's right, darling. We need a spin-off.
Yeah, just Alex. Alex the teacher and her story. A prequel, yeah. maybe. Your backstory. And that would mean you may get to do more with Aaron Pedersen.
He's amazing.
He's so good. The scenes that you are in and Aaron Pedersen are in this first episode of The Code was reminiscent of his last movie, Mystery Road.
Oh, you saw it? Great. He's such a powerful actor and honestly, like the smartest guy I ever met.
Yeah.
Wickedly funny and taught me a lot about Australian culture.
There are a lot of great actors and sort of like the Australian acting royalty as well as the New Zealand acting royalty. In fact, a lot of people are texting in about various characters that they love that you have played, of course, playing Alex in The Code now, a Sunday
yeah.
night.
Which is my favourite role of all time.
Well, that's good. That. Well, PM Newton loves you as Diane Lewis in Parks and Recreation with Ron Swanson.
Oh, sweet.
And of course, Xena Warrior Princess, of course,
I've never watched that. I've never seen myself in Parks and Rec.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thrilled if it worked out. I always felt like I wasn't very good in that. I don't want to watch it in case I hate myself. But that's kind. Thank you.
Now, you are, of course, you're going to be in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Isabel Hartley.
Yeah, you know what? I've been doing such dark stuff recently when the writers asked me, would you, you know, come and do this thing. It was like a warm bath. It was like, yeah, I totally want to do something that's just kind of mindless fun. And it's a nod to my old fans, the Comic-Con group.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well, I want to take you back to this, as a matter of fact, where Stan Lee is mentioned.
You tricked me with a ruse so hackneyed it would make Stan Lee blush.
Shut up.
1999, the Treehouse of Horror 5, I think.
Oh,
no, 10,
mate,
10?
I know, it's when the collector collected me, put me between Doctor Who and Yasmin Bliss.
You got to play against Comic Book Guy in The Simpsons and also fly Bart and Lisa away at the end of that episode. My goodness. So,
yeah, what, no trouble.
I mean, apart from being a part of Xena Warrior Princess, and how good is being a part of that?
Fly. Yeah.
You listen to Triple J with the Doctor. I've actually worked here for 10 years this year. Never thought I'd get to say this. Denzel Washington, thank you for talking to Triple J.
My pleasure.
And also, thank you very much for making The Equalizer. I watched it. It was brilliant. I got to say, though.
Oh, thank you.
I got to say, for the first half hour, I thought I may have been watching a touching family drama about an older man.
Right.
I honestly, like,
falling in love with a 15-year-old. Well, right?
No, what I was actually thinking was like helping her, you know, achieve her dream of becoming a musician.
Right. Well, you know, I think a part of it is. He's repressed his own nature. I mean, it's his nature to help people, and you see him trying to help her a bit. And even as he says to the girl, you got to be who you are in this world. He has to be who he is in this world. I think he was in denial about that. I think that we added these elements. I added this element of being obsessive. Obsessive compulsive behavior.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, because whatever damage that happens in his past, and we never really talk about it, but we see the result of it. You know, he's in denial. He's working in a Home Mart store.
Mm-hmm.
He folds his napkin with his one key bag. He can't sleep. he reads books at 3 o'clock in the morning in some funky diner in the middle of nowhere. So we know something's wrong with him. So I think I don't know if I'd say you like him, but he's not some superhuman
exactly.
guy.
Yeah, but he does have that superhero vibe of having those two sides to his personality, which is why I think it was lovely that you were playing against Chloe Grace Moritz wearing even more cool hair than she does playing It Girl in Kick-Ass.
Right.
Which is another great movie, and you get to develop as she does.
Whatever, and again, I like the fact that we don't know specifically a bit. You know, we know he's flawed, and he's, you know, there's something, he's not just, you know, first 2 minutes of the movie, he's kicking butt and, you know.
I like how then after, you know, after the 30 minutes and you realize it's not a touching family drama, after that very first scene up above the restaurant, then, and it's not even really mentioned, he can sleep perfectly.
Yeah, you got that.
It was like, hey.
You got it. I've been asking people. Some people get it, some don't. That's the first time he can sleep.
Anyone who's ever had trouble sleeping can go, oh, so that's what he needed to do. Hopefully, though, it won't make other people having problems with insomnia go upstairs at a restaurant with a bunch of mafia dudes.
Yeah, knock off five people. Well, I mean, but whatever his job was in his past obviously affected him. And I'd like to think, as I developed the character, that it affected his wife and in some way led to her death. Like, I would say that she died of a broken heart. But he feels a guilt about it. And he says to the bad guy, he says, you know, I promised someone I love very much that I would never go back to being that person. But for you, I'm going to make an exception.
The Equalizer, remake of the TV show, Denzel's Equalizer. I guess he's a very ordinary man. He works at a home hardware store. Until he meets a young girl who changes everything.
What's she knowing about?
It is about a guy who is a knight in shining armor, except he lives in a world where knights don't exist anymore. You do something about it, because you can.
Well, I am worried whether you're going to inspire a bunch of people to get jobs at a home hardware store so they can work out how to use all the tools in the aisles. Can you really get, Denzel, can you really get those crazy sword things in home hardware style places in America?
It's a branch clipper or something.
It's for arborists. For arborists. Ridiculous.
What do they call it?
Arborists would use it to do tree stuff. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's you know, when they reach up and they cut the thing. Oh. And the other thing was a dog collar with barbed wire around it. Oh. You know, then I pushed the cement off the top of the thing. I mean, I don't know where I got enough time to do all that. But
you did it. We shouldn't.
I did it real fast, right? But then also, which was a Navy SEAL thing, putting the sand down so you could hear the person coming.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen.
So the stuntmen had a field day. The coordinator and Antoine, the Pukwa, the director, they just walked around and just made up stuff, you know, putting those things in the microwave, those canisters of flammable. And even the drill, you actually never see me drill him in the head. I shouldn't give all this away.
I know. We're talking a lot.
I'm sorry. I didn't say that.
That's all right. Fine. We're talking to Denzel Washington. It's not all action. At one point, you are convincing a guy at work to eat vegan mayonnaise and gluten-free bread. Right. So, you know, it's nice. You're helping people and hurting people.
That's right. All of a day's work.
Well, now, you've played so many wonderful real-life characters, Steve Biko and Malcolm X, The Hurricane, Reuben Carter at The Hurricane movie.
Right.
Are there any plans to play any other, any real-life legends?
No plans. Wow. I mean, I don't know who's left.
I don't know. Very good point. Who is next? And I read that you've never been in a sequel before.
No, never have.
So this one could be the first time they're talking about turning...
Well, you know, the last part of the filmmaking process is the audience. It's not a film until somebody sees it. So the people will decide. And if they decide that it's something they like by going, you know, going to the movies, and if the writer who's already writing, from what I understand, if they write something really good, then it's a possibility. But, you know, first things first.
Yes.
It's really up to the people.
I read that you were a fan of Nas.
That's correct.
I'll chuck on a little bit of Nas for you, if that's right, if that's okay.
There you go. Which one? What are you playing?
I was thinking maybe either The Don or Accident Murderers with Rick Ross on it from Illmatic.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Would you like to hear anything else? Anything else you prefer?
Well, you know, he put that 20th anniversary Illmatic out, right?
Yeah, he did. Illmatic XX. Yeah.
Yeah, 20th anniversary of Illmatic, you know.
I'm a villain on it.
Well, some of them you can't. You got to play the clean version.
Oh, I can put a language warning on the front of it at Triple J. We're allowed to put a couple of cuss words as long as we put a language warning. So I'll do that.
Oh, wow.
And Denzel, hopefully we'll see you in Australia sometime, sir.
Yeah, I would love to. I had a great time. Been there in a while, but I had a great time. People took me all around. I really enjoy the Australian people and the Fosters.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you got to drop a beer name.
So. Right.
Denzel, thank you so much for talking.
Take care, then.
See you later, man. Bye-bye. From Triple J, here's Nas.
Cock back, you thought you had it planned. You thought you had your man. He saw you come and he ran when you tried to blast that man.
And I have in front of me possibly the most famous ongoing duet on Australian television, Margaret Pomerantz and David Stratton. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
After 28 years, though, you guys have decided to retire from this part of your life. When did you make the decision?
Margaret doesn't use the word, though, Margaret.
No, what? I don't say retire. I think that's got a nasty connotation.
I can't wait till I retire.
Well, it's sort of like having space to do other things, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And
step down is the
I'm using the word step down. Except you can't step down from sitting in chairs, can you?
Watch less movies, perhaps.
Yes.
Better ones. Fewer, but better.
Now, I know you're a big fan, David Stratton, of the David Stratton Twitter account, the fake parody Twitter account, and I'm pretty sure one of the first tweets was, it's official, I've decided to retire so I can watch movies and get drunk all day. Hang on, wait a minute.
Oh, he's precious, that guy.
Now, it's not because in January, David Stratton, you discovered there was an ASIO file kept on you? That's not the reason you're retiring?
No, I don't think it's got anything to do with it at all. No. No, I thought was a bit of a joke, to be honest. So I mean, it's a very long time ago. I don't think they still have a file on me.
Really?
Well.
Do they have a file on you, Margaret?
I've never inquired. Oh, I don't want to know.
After Ken Park, there's got to be something as a result. Illegally showing banned movies in Australia.
She didn't actually get to show it. She tried.
I showed about 10 seconds.
Yes.
The good bits.
of the opening credits.
So many people are texting you. In fact, Dan in Canberra says, I think it was really cool of Margaret to show the banned movie Ken Park over a decade ago. She faced police persecution to allow adult Australians to make their own decisions about the movie. People are saying, who's going to fight our battles for movies now that you guys are gone?
Oh, we are not dead. We'll still be there on the battlefield. Don't worry.
Nathan on the Gold Coast remembers how badass you guys were when he saw you being arrested at that illegal screening of Ken Park. Did you get arrested?
Yes. Well, no, we didn't get arrested. I mean, we were escorted by the police into a side corridor and our names were taken. And we had to turn up to the police station some days later.
Wonderful. Triple J, keep sending your texts in. People, of course, talking about the massive discrepancies between your reviews of the movies. One that you guys were both, sadly, in my opinion, almost agreed on was What We Do in the Shadows.
Wasn't that amazing? And everybody is going to it and enjoying
it. I love that movie so
much.
There
was something wrong in the air when we saw it. I did not find it at all amusing. And everybody seems to be enjoying
it. Not everybody. I'm sure there are some people of taste and perspicacity.
But it's great. It's great that people go and don't take any notice of it and enjoy it. You know, we're not God. We don't have to put this imprimatur on a film. I think it's lovely that they go, no, stuff them. I'm going to go anyway.
So do I. I mean, I would do the same. But, that was a bad film. God almighty.
No stars, David, for that answer. Now, someone has raised a very important point since you guys have been on television for 28 years, finishing up on December the 9th is the last at the movies. The person wants to know, are we just going to pretend to ignore the David and Margaret sex fan fiction?
What?
Is this... you have to just... extrapolate on
fan fiction is it's fiction written by people. Generally, the internet really sort of made it become much more popular, making up stories about anyone. They make up stories about lots of people, especially people who work in close circles in the public eye together.
So
and they are of a sexual nature generally.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is us in a sexual relationship?
Yes, I believe so. Not necessarily a relationship, but maybe just, you know, sort of temporary scenarios.
Coupling.
Yes.
Oh, God, I must look that up. Wow. Fascinating.
Yes, it's something slightly it's unnerving something we've about,
never.
Isn't it?
No, but I mean that that's been the secret, you know. That
yes,
we've,
of course.
We've
the Mulder and Scully style. Yes, you know, will they or won't they?
Exactly. No. It's not ever will
have
we?
Have they or did they?
No.
So many film festivals in far flung locales.
She did invade my room in Cannes one year.
Yes.
4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sound asleep. And this bang, bang, bang on the door. And the excuse is that she's lost her key to her room.
It was true.
This is almost the plot out of a movie you guys would
go 4 o'clock in the morning, come on, you know. I mean, I was a little bit out
drunk
of it.
Drunk as a skunk. Oh,
David, stop it.
It was a very unsavoury experience.
It was unsavoury because his toilet was blocked. It was the most disgusting. It was in a hotel that I called the Barton Fink Hotel in Cannes for a reason.
Cheap hotel.
But you've lasted from then on up until this year.
Yes, he did look bemused, I must admit.
Well, I looked bemused because I had two single beds in this room and the spare bed had neatly piled on it all the notes and all the brochures and all the press books and all the trade papers that I had. And Margaret comes in and goes like this and whips off the top blanket. They all go flying all over.
And your cunning ploy to make one of the beds out of action just didn't work. I'm sorry. I've got Margaret and David in here. Goodness. And obviously you guys are still going to be friends after the show's over. So,
oh, yes. Absolutely, yes.
Now, how many films have you reviewed in your 28 years?
8,321.
That's what you said before. Yeah, I can't believe he counted.
And you've still got a whole bunch of films left until the 9th of December.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Hey, well,
about five a week, I think it is.
I can't be bothered doing the maths, but there's heaps. Yeah. There's heaps coming up.
Yeah.
More to come.
And I'm sure more to come from you guys. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. It was very last minute, and we were all shocked to see the announcement, but it's really good to see you guys are doing what you reckon's right.
It's great to be here.
That'll do just nicely.
So tell me then, what happened just a few hours ago?
No, it was a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
I got roped in to play guitar for this band called The Dead Men Walking, which basically consists of Captain Sensible from The Damned, Slim Jim from The Stray Cats.
Mike from The Alarm. Yeah.
Mike from The Alarm, yeah. And then, so that's kind of the core group, and they want me to play guitar for them. But they also get special guests like Duff from Guns N' Roses and Fred Armisen from Saturday Night Live, and sometimes Steve Jones and plays with them. And anyway, we did this gig at the Troubadour, and we played Sweet Child of Mine, which I never thought I'd ever play in my career. But anyway, stranger things have happened.
And with Duff from Guns N' Roses.
With Duff from Guns N' Roses, yeah, that's right.
Right. Did you get to do the solo?
No, because we did sort of adaptation of it. Oh. It was sort of like a country kind of Stonesy version of it. There's no shredding for the sound without the intro, is it?
Oh, no, but you've still got the chorus, you've got the lyrics, you've got Duff, for goodness sake. I don't tell you, that list you just read out, every young guitarist's dream is to play with these people. That's very, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's my dream. I mean, I just, these are my musical heroes, probably yours too, except for Duff. But to play with people like Captain Sensible and stuff is crazy, you know, and they're just really nice guys, and it's been a hoot.
Yeah, that sounds great. You're going to do more shows with them?
Yeah, that's the plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when they call, I'll be there.
Now, people are pretty excited for you guys coming back to Australia. What's Scott up to at the moment? I saw a thing that he was in the Philippines building houses.
He is, yeah. He's doing this project. They're building these houses, which I think it costs $1,000 or something to build a house for a family. And so I've seen a couple of photos of him over there. He's doing stuff that actually matters, isn't he?
I'm sure to some people
mine is self-indulgent, but he's contributing to the world, so good on him.
Oh, good on both of you. It's It Ain't Nothing is the name of the organisation. You want to check it out. ItAin'tNothing.org is where Scott's doing in the Philippines at the moment. And with all this stuff that's going on, is there time for writing a new Living End record?
Yeah, that's the plan. We've got a whole lot of downtime, actually, when we're back there. So idea is just to jump into a studio and, you know, throw some stuff at the wall and see if it sticks without really sort of thinking about it too much.
So you
think we've all got kind of songs and ideas hanging around, so we'll hopefully, get a record at the end of it.
Yeah, so you can this is a working trip to Australia as well as getting to play all your songs and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I mean, we didn't know whether we were going to make another one after our last record, but just kind of figured we'll have a crack and see if it's any good, if we can do that.
That's very
unprofessional, isn't it?
No, it's I think. Come on, you guys are a few albums in now. You're allowed to make those decisions. And I saw you were doing stuff with Fat Mike from NoFX as well.
Yeah. I did a recording for him the other day. I mean, that's kind of the reason I moved over here, was to try and see if I could play guitar for different people. And I kind of spent the first 2 years kind of sitting around twiddling my thumbs. And all of a sudden, my phone started to ring, and it's been really great because these are people that I've kind of known and I really respect as musicians. Yeah. So working with him was great. I spent most of the time kind of laughing and a little bit of the time playing. And there was actually one point where I was playing something and he said, "That sounded just like a Frenzel song."
Oh, I'm sorry.
Of all people. No. So we scrapped that. No, we didn't.
Tom Ballard's in the studio. Hello, Tom Ballard.
G'day, Doctor.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you. I brought in a little mate of mine.
You certainly did. If I can introduce him.
From Australian Idol, My Restaurant Rules, Dancing with the Stars, Celebrity Survivor, World Idol, Celebrity Apprentice, and Australian Idol again, it's Dicko, everybody. Dicko!
Dicko!
I'm not normally allowed to play where the younger people are, so it's quite exciting for me.
Well, can I say off air? And it's so weird because for all your career, I haven't heard you actually talk a lot about music. I've heard you talk a lot about reality TV and two musicians on Australian Idol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of course, you have this huge career as a record exec. That's how you got the Australian Idol job. And you're just talking about your cool Pearl Jam stories.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to regard myself as the microbe in the gut of the corporate beast. But then, of course, I became a suit like everyone else.
You sold out, man.
Yeah, my job. People spreading the microbes to all the innocent people. You were on Creation Records. Is that right?
Croatian Records, yes. in Dubrovnik.
Croasis was the Croatian Oasis.
No, you were Croasis, new big thing. Much hit. Enjoy the music much. Rock out with cock out. Sorry. Okay,
Oasis ever say rock out with your cock out? Was that an appropriate reference?
That's the sort of thing they would have appropriated into their songs. They stole most of Slade's riffs.
Yeah. If George Harrison had said rock out with your cock out, then Oasis would have done. Because you worked for Creation Records when Oasis was signed.
No, I actually worked for Creation way before then. Oh. I was working for Creation when they were about a label all about cool floppy mop top hairdos. Primal Scream. Bands like Felt and the Jesus and Mary Chain, Primal Scream. Yeah. And then went on to sign The House of Love and, of course, famously, which made him all of his money, Oasis.
Yes.
If you want to find some crimes from 1994, I think I was guiding a young Canadian songstress to her first hit in the UK.
Canadian
a woman called Celine Dion.
Oh.
Yeah, play that and stay cool, Doctor. Look, Jack, I'm flying.
Look, Tom, I'm fired.
Do you know what? Look, the fact...
Someone's texted in, and this is a different... apparently, you did the DVD commentary for Dicko to something that they showed to people in rehab.
That's true, actually. I gave up drinking for 1,000 days because I was hammering it. When I was doing radio,
that's like Feb Fast, Dry July, October times.
But, I was drinking 5 bottles of wine a day just because I was on my own in Melbourne doing breakfast radio, and that was a good way to...
No, that's enough. I understand.
But and then I went to Splendor in the Grass, and I saw a bloke in the street. He stopped me. He said, I was in rehab, and they showed you... to us in rehab. And I went, no. And then I remembered I had done Four Corners for the ABC about problem drinkers. And then I saw Phil from Grinspoon. He went, when I was in rehab, Dicker, they showed you to me. And I said, how was that for you, mate? He said, a little bizarre, I must admit.
Wow.
Well, you don't
I feel bad. I want to go into rehab and have Phil from Grinspoon talk to me.
Yeah. What if they play you to you in rehab?
I'd you like should to find think so.
If you have a relapse, if you have a relapse, you go back in there.
That's enough to start your drinking again, isn't it?
Elise from Blacktown is saying, happy birthday to me. Dicko on the radio. And then she says something else. A few people have said it as well. Dicko, who do you sing for?
We sing for Wanderers.
Is that the Western Sydney Wanderers?
Yeah, we're actually playing the first leg of our Asian Champions League semi-final tonight in Korea, in Seoul. And this is momentous. This is absolutely momentous. It's going to be a packed second leg at Parramatta Park in a week's time, and I couldn't be prouder. And I'm thrilled that you've got Wanderers fans listening.
We have. We do indeed. Quite
sing,
a lot.
Sing a bit for us, and I'll critique you.
RBB, ole, 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 RBB, ole, RBB, ole, ole.
It's a no from me.
We got to do the thing like on the TV show. On Triple J, that is One for the City by Illy. Finished up a bunch of shows, regional areas around Australia on the weekend. Didn't end up that good though, actually. I've got Illy on the phone right now. Hey, man.
Hey, bro. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Now, first things first, have you checked your phone? Do you have the new U2 album on it?
Dude, I was just speaking to your producer, Hannah, while I was on hold, and I didn't think that I had, but I do, and that's crazy. It's out of my cloud.
Hey, you, get off my cloud. I think people are texting in. I thought I was free as well until midday. Anyway, you've had more things to worry about. Tell us this: what happened in Traralgon. That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, so we started our set as normal, got like a few songs in, and then some legend decided to throw a glass at me that hit me just under my eye. And so after that, we cancelled the show. I was bleeding at the time. I thought I was going to need stitches. Turns out I'm not going to, but I got a little cut and, you know, just a bit of a black eye. Uh-huh. We're gonna reschedule the show. I think we're gonna announce the rescheduled show in the next day or two because I know a lot of people went out of their way, you know, paid money for a hotel or babysitters or just for the tickets. Mm-hmm. They missed out, so we're gonna try and rectify that. But there's been some people online saying, you know, the show must go on, rah-rah, and I just think that's bullshit. You know, this is my work. I'm responsible for me and the people on stage, you got to do the right thing. And I think if anyone else was at work and someone threw a glass at them and it cut them, they probably wouldn't continue. So
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, you got other people up there on stage who, you know, could also get hit, and they can't move as easily as you as well. So if that sort of stuff's going on, it's just such a shame that one dude can spoil everyone's fun. Hey,
yeah, and it is, man. And like I said, we're rescheduling the show for that reason because it's not fair that everyone gets put out. But without being like on my high horse too much, people just should consider that before they do it. It's all good to be drunk, have a good time, but if you see your mates doing that sort of shit, probably a good idea to tell them to
definitely
stop doing that.
definitely. I remember like it's happened to the band I play in. Our lead singer had a VB bottle smash into his head, and that was on the Gold Coast. Since then, that venue hasn't like sort of sold anything with glass. I know this venue generally doesn't as well, but this one must have got through the cracks.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's been conflicting reports. It definitely felt like and had the effect of a glass on my face.
But, you know what? People have thrown like full water bottles at me, and they hurt just as much as well. So it's just, I mean, let's face it, isn't me. It's fair enough. But anyway, but you're really
on stage, just walking down the street. Like,
just now, just before I got on the air. Oh, but you're okay. You're all right.
I'm all good, man.
You're a tall man too. He must have really had a heft on it to get it up.
Yeah, it was a considerable. Yeah, he had a good arm, man.
Yeah, but seriously though, if it was any higher, you know, if you're saying it's just below your eye, that's dangerous stuff.
Well, dude, that was what freaked me out the most. Like, if that was glass, which I think it was, and it shattered, it could have been a lot worse so easily, man. So that's kind of freaky.
Yeah. Now, what is next for you? This tour's over. Apart from checking out the new U2 record,
can't wait for that. So I'm going to spend the next probably 2 months or so checking out the new U2 record, and then we go on the Capital City run, one for the cities tour at the end of the year with TK Mazer.
That's right.
And a couple of other guests we're going to announce in a little bit. So.
Ooh, that's nice. Yeah. Playing some good venues too. The Discovery in Darwin, Astor Theatre, Forum Theatre, Tivoli Theatre, Enmore Theatre, HQ. Just, you know, keep the glasses and cups in your hands at those venues.
Cause it's absolutely.
The general rule is don't be a dickhead. If you're at these gigs, you're paying money for these gigs or whatever you're doing at a gig, have some respect for the people in the audience and the people on the stage. I think that's fair enough.
That's it. And you don't want the entire audience to turn on you, which I've been hearing may have happened to this guy as well. So yeah, it's a self-preservation thing as well.
Yeah, exactly, for yourself. I know when NoFX get stuff thrown at them or spat on or whatever silly things happen to NoFX, they have this list of all their most popular songs written down the side of the stage, and they cross one off every time something happens.
Is that right?
And so you can imagine you having like Tightrope and One for the City written down to the side, and nope, we're not doing that one anymore.
Yeah.
Not doing it. Can wait. Just went.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll let you work on that once you get through the cool new U2 album. Illy, thanks heaps for chatting to us today. I'm glad you're okay, man. It's a shit thing to happen.
Thanks a lot, man. And just if I can say just one more time, everyone that was at the show, check out my socials in the next day or two and we'll have the rescheduled day. So I hope to see everyone there.
Awesome, man. Thanks heaps for chatting to us, sir.
Good on you, bro.
I don't even have my earphones on yet.
Now talk.
I can hear myself.
But that voice you were hearing in the studio is possibly the youngest surfer I've ever interviewed, and definitely the best 6-year-old surfer I've ever interviewed, Quincy Simmons. Hello, Quincy.
Hello.
Now, how you've had some fun today at Triple J? You went and played our pinball game. How did you go?
I was really good at it.
You're really good at lots of things, Quincy, aren't you?
Yes.
Have you seen, now the reason I know about you is I saw a video that's on ABC Open of you surfing that I think 1.2 million people have seen. Have you seen that video?
Mm-hmm.
How did you learn to surf?
Daddy helped me and lots of the coaches helped.
Your coach says you just don't fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you thinking? You're there, you're surfing, you're in the water. What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about doing new stuff.
What stuff do you do?
Turns and floaters. Floaters are when you go on top of the wave and come back into the wave.
Oh, man. So are you watching other surfers as well to learn these things? How do you learn how to do these moves?
You watch other people and see what they're doing to make it happen.
Oh, wow. What's your favourite place to surf?
Snapper, Rainbow or D-Bar.
And, oh, yeah, you were surfing in Sydney just yesterday.
And today.
You have to get up really early to go surfing as well today.
Yes.
I believe it's not only surfing, you skateboard as well.
Yes.
Would you have time to do school, Quincy?
Yes.
You got a smile on your face like maybe you don't have so much time to do school.
Sometimes I don't.
Do you sometimes not go to school so you can go surfing?
Yes.
I'm talking to the Flying Squirrel. I should say your name is the Flying Squirrel. But your nickname doesn't come from surfing or skating. How did you get your nickname, the Flying Squirrel?
From seeing lots of squirrels and jumping off stuff.
Where were you when you saw all the squirrels?
In America.
Do you want to surf all around the world? Like, where do you want to go next?
I want to go to Pipeline in Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Who's your favourite surfer?
Mick Fanning and Paco.
And in the studio on Triple J with the Doctor is Quincy Simmons, the Flying Squirrel, 6 years old, and everyone is watching this video of you surfing and skating and looking like an absolute legend. In fact, I think your coach said this, your coach Anthony Pope said this.
She's probably close to the best 6-year-old skater and surfer in the world right now.
You reckon you are?
Yes.
It's pretty good, and obviously, you know, surfing, there's a lot of competition. I should say, though, Quincy, one thing we haven't talked about is the fact that you're on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
Now, it's a cortisone deficiency from an adrenal insufficiency, which kind of rhymes. How are you feeling right now? Are you okay?
Yes.
You had to go to hospital this week, though.
Yes.
Is that all right? Do you like hospitals?
No.
What does it feel like when you get sick?
Not fun.
Oh. But what do you, so you take steroids in like a puffer sort of thing?
No.
How do you do it?
Through a syringe.
Oh, that sucks, man. That sucks.
No, it doesn't.
You don't mind?
No. Oh, it's easier.
That's pretty tough.
No, it isn't.
So you went surfing this morning.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to be surfing as well on the 22nd of September through to the 25th of September.
Yes.
You're going to be at the blast off. It's like for under 14s. But you're like as your coach said, you're like the best surfer for a 6-year-old. Is it kind of fair that you're there showing everyone up and being better than everyone else?
Not really.
Do you care?
Yes. Oh, No.
That is great. Hey, you went to that. You've been at the ABC for a little bit today. Have you seen any other cool things?
Yes, the pinball machine.
You want to go and play some more pinball as well?
Pinball.
All right. Thank you so much for coming into Triple J today, Quincy. Have a great afternoon. Have a great weekend and have fun at BL's Blast Off.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Thank you. See you. You rule. Yeah. And that was my podcast for this week. And for a couple of weeks, I'm having a bit of a holiday. That'd be really nice to the people who are taking over my spot. Ronnie Cheng, very funny comedian, and another very funny man as well, also a comedian, Nazim Hussain, will both be in my stead. I'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. See you later.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.